This is the Countdown to Mickey podcast, where we take a new look and deep dive into the things we love at Walt Disney World and Disneyland. This is Michelle.
And this is Steve.
And this is the Countdown to Mickey podcast. Because of the pandemic, we've decided to postpone our next Disney trip for a year. We are typically annual pass holders and go quite a few times a year, so this was a huge change for us.
To help us get over our Disney depression, we decided to do a countdown of our favorite rides and really dive deep into our favorite attractions.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Countdown to Mickey Podcast.
Hey everyone, we are here this week talking about
number 45, which is
the Disneyland Railroad, or for those experts out there, the DRR. I just found out that that is the acronym.
The official acronym. So Disney says you embark on a relaxing 18-minute scenic journey aboard an authentic steam-powered train around Disneyland Park. There's any height, any ages. You steam along the banks of the Rivers of America and behold rugged landscape inspired by four of America's majestic rivers: the Mississippi, the Columbia, the Missouri, and the Rio Grande. Between Tomorrowland and Main Street, a special treat awaits: Walt Disney's legendary dioramas of the Grand Canyon and primeval world, Land of the Dinosaurs.
So I must admit, I think this ride is the first ride that I'm really excited to talk about.
What? You don't like the swings or the Golden Zephyr?
I do, but I think the railroad just really defines Disney for me. I think growing up, this was one of the rides that I made absolute sure that we always rode.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so I think this is the one of the first rides we've discussed on our countdown that really brings up those memories and just really defines Disney for me. Disneyland and just the magic and the family memories and everything that comes along with the wonderful time that we have at Disneyland.
Well, that's great. I mean, I feel like we tried to ride it, but it's not always on our to-do list. Walt Disney World train has been down the last few times that we've went there, so no diss on the Disney World train, but the Disneyland is like the true original, so that one is my favorite.
Yes, and just to be clear, we are talking about the Disneyland train. I honestly don't know if I've ever really cared about riding the Disney World train. For some reason, the Magic Kingdom in Orlando just never has really resonated with me as much as Disneyland. I think just because I grew up going to Disneyland, and so it always holds a little bit more of a magical place for me than the Magical Kingdom.
Definitely. It feels more Walt Disney. So did you know that Disney was an avid polo player?
I did not, but I'm not sure what him being a polo player has anything to do with the railroad.
Well, so he got kicked off a horse and had a neck injury, and his doctor said he needed a new hobby. Do you know what that new hobby became?
I'm going to guess
trains.
Model trains. Well, I guess not just model trains.
So he first purchased several Lionel train sets, and then he got so into it, he made his own 1/8 scale train in his backyard. It was called the Carol Woods Pacific Railroad, and he did a custom-built steam-powered locomotive that encircled his property.
And I think, just for our listeners, when you say a 1/8 scale train, what does that bring to mind? What size do you think a 1/8 scale
They look train pretty defines? Small. I mean, it's like one person per car. You could sit on it. You could ride it. But it was one person per car. So if you like Google images of Walt Disney, you'll see him riding this tiny train around his property. It was pretty cute.
So 1/8 scale. So if you imagine stepping onto the current Disneyland Railroad, it's about probably 8 feet tall in terms of the cars that you get on. What that means is the 1/8 scale, that those cars would be 1 foot tall.
Yeah.
And so the steam engine, I think, is the main part that you would ride in those 1/8 scale trains.
Yeah, they did the whole, there was like a bunch of people in it. Yeah.
Because the engine is I think, a little bit bigger than 8 feet in terms of the steam stack and everything else. And so the engine's going to be probably the bigger part of this train, or of any train. And so I just wanted to make sure we gave our listeners some context in terms of what 1/8 means, because sometimes that's hard to visualize.
Yeah, well, they're small. Very miniature.
But they're not so small. Like, we have a train set that goes around our Christmas tree.
Right.
It's not that small. It's not. No. It's big enough where one person can ride. So it's not your normal train set that you set up on Christmas.
Correct. So because of this passion, he, of course, had to bring this into Disneyland. So this was an opening day attraction. He actually helped personally finance the Disneyland Railroad along with a Santa Fe company. So initially it was called Santa Fe and Disneyland Railroad. And about the startup cost was said to be $240,000 to make the railroad and $40,000 for each steam engine. And he had 2 engines that he started. And actually on opening day, Walt himself drove the number 2 locomotive, which was E.P. Ripley, and as passenger train onto the Main Street station.
And I want to give a little bit more context. When you say $240,000, that's $240,000.
In 1950.
Right, in 1950. So that would probably be in the equivalence of like $1 million today.
Or more.
Yeah, probably more.
So it was such a big hit, though, they had to quickly add on a few more engines. So within in the late 50s, they restored another one. This one they bought. The first two they made from scratch. That one cost $37,000. Then they added a 4th engine. And they did the 2 large dioramas. Did you know that they've been around since the late 50s, mid-1960s?
What, the dioramas?
The dioramas, yeah.
Not those exact dioramas.
They've upgraded it, but it was always the Grand Canyon and dinosaurs.
Well, yeah, I definitely remember that even as a kid. Obviously, I wasn't a kid in the 50s, but I remember riding it in the 80s and 90s and it being very similar to what it is today. And so that's one of the things that I always love to go check out.
So today there's now 5 engines. They typically run 3 at a time because they said that 3, actually they can maximize the number of passengers. And I'm not sure exactly, but that's supposed to be the most efficient. It estimates about 6.6 million passengers each year ride the railroad.
I'd love to talk more about why 3 trains.
I don't know. I was actually hoping you would be able to tell us that.
Well, how many stops are there?
So there's 4 stations, right? So
Correct. There
is Main Street, New Orleans Square, Mickey's Toontown, and Tomorrowland.
And I think this is, again, one of the amazing things that Disney does in terms of efficiency, customer experience, that goes on behind the scenes that a lot of people have no idea or even think about. And so if they ran 4 trains at a time, that would mean that there'd be a train waiting to communicate and see, okay, has the train ahead of them left the station?
Then I can go.
And so there'd be this weird kind of delay. And then if there's only 2 trains, then you'd have a huge gap in between both of the trains. And so the 3 trains makes it so that there's enough space. You don't have a weird waiting system for the next train to leave the station, for the other one to pull in, but you have enough trains to maximize capacity. And so that's one of the things, just the idea of having 3 trains running on a 4 station track is one of those things that Disney does, again, behind the scenes that makes it so that the experience is a little bit smoother and a little bit nicer, and you don't have to wait as long for the trains. And so,
yeah, I never thought about that.
So it's there's always a reason, and that's one of the things about Disney magic design and Imagineering is they rarely do something without many, many reasons in mind, and especially the customer experience in mind. And so this is one of those design aspects of Disney that makes it so magical.
One thing that was not so magical, at one point they had a cattle car on the train, And Walt decided that he wanted them to take off one of the walls. And he wanted people to feel like they were cattle. So he didn't have any seats and you had to stand up the whole train ride.
Interesting. I did not notice that in my research. How many, I'm curious, did you find in your research any mention of how many different cars there have been on the train?
No, I was kind of mostly looking at the engines. There's five engines, but they're all like the open passenger ones now. They do have one parlor car, they call it, which was his fancy railroad car, the Lily Bell, which he used to bring all the celebrities and royalty onto, but they don't even use that very much anymore.
Is that still in running? They do use it?
They still have it, but I don't think it runs very often. I don't think they put it out on the track.
Yeah, because I remember growing up being in the train car that was a fancy car where you had your own seats and a window and it was totally enclosed. But now, as far as I know, all the trains that I've seen have just been the open ones where you...
Yeah, where you're facing out so you can see the park and the dioramas.
Right.
Did you know that Disney always owned the Disney Railroad? So that was never part of the Disneyland company. It was always his private ownership.
Oh, wow.
He owned that and the boat. And they used to have to pay him a dollar anytime anyone rode it.
Wow, a dollar anytime. So that's interesting.
That's a lot. I mean, if 6 million people ride it a year, I mean, think of that. He just had little ways of making it a good investment for himself.
Well, I mean, the whole park was an investment for himself. So yeah. Who is paying Walt?
The Disneyland company.
But it was his company.
I know, but it was like separate entities.
Got it. Yeah, so he got a dollar for every person?
Every person. Because it used to be when they had the tickets, it used to be like one of the highest ticket attractions. I don't know if it was like D or C.
Oh, right.
You know, and so people had to pay to get on it, and then Disney pocketed a dollar for each of them.
Interesting. Yeah, I think, did you mention how many trips the train makes around the park every year?
Oh, no, I don't know that. I can look it up.
So, yeah, I thought you might have mentioned that with the amount of riders. But so Disneyland estimates that the train makes more than 13,000 trips around the park every year. And do you know what distance that might translate to?
Wait, so 13,000?
13,000 trips annually. But I'm curious if you know what distance that translates
to. 1.8 miles.
Well, no, hold on. Just hold on. I'm asking what distance that translates to since it opened in 1955.
So I don't know that.
What's the total distance that the train has traveled since it first opened on opening day?
You got to tell me. I don't know.
So 13,000 trips around the park annually. That means that the train would have gone the distance where it would have covered enough track to circle the globe over 150 times.
Wow. That's impressive. Do you want to talk about what the engine uses?
Sure. Yeah, no, I'd love to. Thank you. Thank you for asking.
Since it's going around the Earth and we want to be environmentally cognizant, I read a little bit about it, but I thought you would probably explain it a little better.
Sure. Yeah, I'd be interested if you read the same things that my research dug up, but I love the railroad. I think it represents so much more in terms of Walt Disney's dream than any other part of the park. And I say that because the steam engine was such a huge part of the first industrial revolution that changed the world. And I think this railroad track that Walt Disney had to have represents that idea that the first industrial revolution really opened up the world for everyone. And so the steam engine was basically the mechanism that spread technology, information, people all around the world. And I think the steam engine that the railroad runs with is just kind of a tiny analogy of that for Walt Disney. I'm not sure if you know how amazing the steam engine invention was and the engineering that goes into it, but it was the first mechanism to use the power of heat in a way that was efficient in a way that could do some really amazing things for mankind. And the typical original steam engine used coal. And so you'd burn coal, which would then boil steam, which would then create pressure, which would then move pistons up and down, which would create the wheels to turn. And so the fact that you can create this pressure over and over again meant that you could basically move anything you wanted to. You could move a giant piece of wood. You can build houses in areas that you would never think of. You can move humans from the East
like
Coast
Carroll
to the
County,
West Coast.
Maryland.
Yes. To places.
My old hometown, which there's not very many houses.
Right. And so people got to explore the world, not just United States, but Europeans, obviously, in the first Industrial Revolution, got to explore the world more than they ever had before. And so the steam engine, that mechanism, allows people to explore. And so that's kind of what it does for Disneyland, too, is it allows people to explore the park in ways that they might not have been able to. I know it's not a huge park, but still, it makes you feel like you're doing that exploration as well. And so I said originally the steam engine burned coal. These particular engines at Disneyland, they don't burn coal. And so they were always designed to be a diesel fuel burning steam engine. Mm-hmm. And so that's the fuel that they use to, again, they burn the diesel fuel, which creates the steam
energy.
But
I thought
I
read that they switched the engines over, that it only runs over a little bit of diesel fuel now and also does like soybean oil.
Correct. Yeah. So
to make it, isn't that more environmentally?
Right. Yes. In 2007, I was going to get to that.
Oh, sorry.
But yes. So again, for a majority of the railroad's history, it was burning diesel fuel. But yes, in 2007, they replaced the engine with a B98 biodiesel engine. And so whenever you hear the word biodiesel, what that means is they're using a biofuel combined with the diesel oil fuel. And so the bio, in this case, comes from 2%, it's the biodiesel oil, and then 98% soybean oil. And
oh,
so
that's pretty good.
That's where the bio comes from. And again, there was actually some problems in 2007 and 2008 storing the soybean-based biodiesel. And so they had to go back to diesel oil in 2008 before they actually found a new biodiesel that incorporated recycled cooking oil in 2009.
Great.
And if you want to get lost in an interesting deep dive, you can look up the history of converting engines to use recycled vegetable oil. It's fascinating. Like, there have been so many amazing garage engineers who refitted their cars.
Yeah, why can't we do that with our cars?
We could. People have. It takes a lot of work, and you have to have the know-how in order to be
able to. How much cooking oil do you need?
You don't need a ton. So basically what some people would do is they'd convert their cars to run on cooking oil, and if they started running low on fuel, they'd just pull into McDonald's and say, hey, can I have your old cooking oil, and they fill up their car. So there is a community of engineers who do that, but it's not easy. It's not straightforward. I mean, obviously, you're going to risk messing up your old car. I hope, as tough as the coronavirus has been on the world, that may be one of the things, hopefully, that people find interesting. Maybe they say, you know what, I've got all this time on my hands. I'm going to take my car.
I can't imagine people rebuilding engines.
They're baking bread and they're growing gardens. I think that's the logical next step, is to start breaking down your car engine and converting
that's
it.
That's the logical next step.
and converting it into vegetable oil. I can't. But the Disneyland Railroad really represents progress in so many ways, from the first Industrial Revolution all the way to more recent technology, and now using biofuels.
I also think it's a good story of resilience and persistence after failure. For example, Disney had to go back to diesel, but they figured it out and they got their way. They make it more environmentally cognizant. And similarly, within the first few weeks of opening, there was a huge issue with the railroad. Apparently, a brakeman pulled the switch too early, and the caboose, the back wheels, actually got disconnected and derailed from the track and slammed into a cement wall. And it was a big deal. But Disney didn't let that bother him. He just kept going with it. And that brake man apparently ran away and has never been seen again.
I think that's the funniest part of that story is that the person operating the train, instead of owning up to his mistake and saying, you know what, I'm going to help fix this, he just left the park and never came back. And so maybe that isn't the best example of perseverance and learning from failure.
No, Walt Disney, not the brake man.
Right. But yes, Walt Disney and the people who
he didn't let that get to him. He kept that railroad and it's still going today.
Right. Absolutely. And I agree. I think there's so much in the railroad in terms of just ingenuity and engineering. Did you know the size of the railroad tracks that they used?
No. Are they like smaller than normal railroads?
They are. And what might be some benefits, do you think, from that smaller railroad track?
Maybe less oil that they need?
Yeah, less resources for sure. So not just laying the track, but pushing the train around the track. Mm-hmm. So they did use smaller gauge, it's called smaller, it's 3 foot gauge track. And so that's the narrow gauge measurement used in North America. And it's common for smaller train tracks and also train tracks in the mountains where they have to make a lot of turns and twists and turns. And so
is it that twisty turny?
Well, since it's such a small track, it does turn more than your typical train track. And so the larger tracks that go all the way across the country, those are actually really straight. And they use, I believe it's a 5 foot gauge track. And so they just carry a lot more weight. And it's a lot more expensive, not just to lay the track, but to operate the train as well. And so Disney knew, even though it was really expensive to get started, they made sure to engineer the most efficient track and also the one that would fit the park in terms of a small track that would make obviously a lot of turns. But the design that they have now actually wasn't the original design. They actually had it as a triangle at first with even tighter turns. Yeah. And so
that was a little silly.
So they made obviously they widened out, made it more of a circle. But I think looking at some of the details of the size of the track, some of the features of the engine in terms of how they've converted to biodiesel, I think all those little things that often are overlooked really makes the engineering and the experience really cool. And I always love just the fact that there's still train engineers running the train and just having the horn get pulled whenever it comes in the station always makes me happy. And I think they used to let people ride in the engine and actually
they did
pull the horn. Yeah, I've never gotten to do that. I would love to do that one day. But
Disney actually used to drive the train. Like, just like randomly be like, hey, it's my turn.
right. I mean,
and people didn't even know that Walt Disney was pulling them on their train.
Right. Yeah. If I had a train, I'd probably do that too. Just want to drive it around. Like you're riding it around on your own thing. I'm curious, what part of the ride is your favorite part?
There was two parts that I really like. One is going by Small World. Especially when it's like decorated. I feel like you get to get up close for the holidays. And the second part is the dioramas. I just think it's so cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love the dioramas.
I don't think I even knew the dioramas were there for like the first 3 years I went to Disneyland because I never took the train all the way around. And then we did. And I was like, what is this?
So
now I try to make sure we take all our kids all the way around at least once.
Right. And when was the first time you went to Disneyland and rode the train?
It was probably when we had our first son, not until then.
Okay, because you missed out on a lot of the changes and the evolution of the scenery, especially around the Great American River. Mm-hmm. I always remember that being one of my favorite parts. And there has been so many scene changes in that section. I think it's fun. So when you board New Orleans Square and you pass the Splash Mountain and then you are basically traveling into the Toontown Station. So there's that long stretch.
Oh, okay.
And along that stretch, you're basically behind the park. So this is pre-Star Wars.
Oh.
And you can see the Great American River, and you can see the, is it Tom Sawyer Island? Is that what it's called right there? And so you see Tom Sawyer Island.
Is that what it's called?
Sorry, I wanted to make sure. So you see the island, and on the back side of the island, they actually created a whole scene, and that scene has changed over the years.
Oh, really? Does it have, like, deer in it?
Yeah, no. So it used to have everything from, there was a whole Native American scene. So there used to be Native American teepees. There was a cabin there.
Mm-hmm.
And that cabin is actually famous. It's called Mike Fink's Cabin. And the cabin has sometimes been on fire.
What?
Yeah, sometimes it's been on fire. Sometimes there's been a scene around the cabin. The cabin is now pretty dilapidated. It's kind of broken down. It looks like a shack. But that cabin has changed, I think, 5 or 6 times over the years. And so I always loved riding that part, that section of the train, see what was happening.
Oh,
I think
that's cool.
I think at some point I could be dreaming this, but I think at some point there might have been a battle between Mike Fink and the Native American chief on horseback. And so I think there was all of this crazy stuff that happened. I could be making that last part up, but it was always fun to watch how that scene has evolved. And so that was one of my favorite parts.
Oh, that's cool. I never even noticed that part.
Yeah. And so it's talking about your favorite parts. What station do you typically like to get on or get off of?
I usually get on New Orleans and then get off at the front is like a last trip before we leave the park for the day.
Right. And I think that's probably my doing. I think that's my favorite my favorite way to ride is, again, take
as you're leaving.
Yeah, as you're leaving, take one last trip around the park, get on at New Orleans Square, ride it all the way around the park and back to the front entrance.
Make sure you see the dioramas.
Yep, make sure I see the back of Tom Sawyer Island, check that out, and then go through. And then the dioramas, going from the Tomorrowland station back to the front of the park is my absolute favorite, seeing those dioramas. I've always been a huge dinosaur fan, and that diorama has always been one of my favorites. As a young kid, I always remembered, like, I have to see this. And sometimes I would just go just from Tomorrowland to the front of the park just to see that diorama.
Oh, really?
And yeah. And
they've done upgrades recently, too.
Yeah, and yeah, it has gotten a lot better. But yeah, as a kid, I always remember that. And it was one of the rides my grandparents could always ride with us. And that was, again, just an awesome memory, seeing those dinosaurs and getting to ride the train.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with the railroad. You can literally ride this any time of day. But we like it as, like, our final goodbye
to
the park for the day.
Yeah, and I think also, since we have kids, we're usually carrying...
Exhausted.
We're exhausted, but we're also usually carrying a stroller. And so I think it makes sense to ride the train if you don't have a stroller. You can just take it from, like, one land to another and get off and not worry about a lot. But usually we got to unpack everything or pack up everything, find a spot where we can fit this gigantic stroller and all these kids. So we want to make it worth our while.
All these kids.
and make it worth our while to ride around the park. Whereas maybe a couple with no kids might be able to ride it from New Orleans Square to Tomorrowland and get off and not have to worry about anything. But it is an amazing ride.
Yeah, I agree.
Have you ever looked at the stations and their decorations before?
No.
The reason I ask that is the Toontown station is obviously decorated like Toontown, but it's the exact setup as the original front of the park station. And
oh,
so
really?
There's luggage. It's Toonish luggage that exactly matches the luggage at the front of the park. And so it's an exact replica, just in more Toontown style.
Oh, that's so cute. Yeah. I'm going to have to pay attention.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's lots of little design.
I usually zone out a little bit on the train. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
It's like my 18-minute break for the day.
Right. But, yeah, it's one of my favorites and a must ride at the end of the park visit.
Great. So the top thing to look for on your next ride on Disneyland Railroad is, what engine are you on? There is C.K. Holliday, E.P. Ripley, Ernest Marsh, Fred Gurley, and Ward Kimball. Ward was one of the original nine old men and had many great achievements, and also his love of trains really inspired Walt Disney for his love of trains. And one of his greatest achievements is Jiminy Cricket. The other four are named after American locomotive legends. So, the trivia from last week is, Steve, what local park also has a Zyra Wave Swinger?
Well, I'm going to guess because the other local park was one that I frequented as a child. So I'm going to guess Knott's Berry Farm.
You are correct. They also have their own steam train. I don't know if it's still running, but they did.
At Knott's Berry Farm.
Yeah. And then the trivia for this week are, what numbers are on the Disneyland Railroad Station? They're in probably every picture you ever take in front of the station as soon as you get into the park. And what do they mean?
That's a great question. I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to hearing the answer.
Well, thanks for joining us this week.
As you wish.
And we hope you come back again next week to join us for our countdown with number 44.
Yes, thank you for joining us on this journey. And we hope that you all are doing well and staying healthy. And
wearing a mask.
And wearing a mask. And continue to join us on our journey as we get to cooler and funner rides.
Oh, I'm getting excited.
And counting down to our next trip.
Yep, as you wish.
As you wish. Thanks for listening. Please check us out at countdowntomickey.com. And you can follow us on socials. We're on Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, all under Countdown to Mickey. So thanks so much, and hopefully join us next time.